Hello, friends. My name is Josh Timms, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, pornography, and currently insecurity. Thank you. Friends, my life began similar to most of you, and that was as a baby. I was born into a really amazing family. My parents, both really strong believers, loved the Lord a lot. And loved each other well. Their marriage was really strong. They modeled what it looked like to love Jesus. I also grew up in a very unique family. I have a picture of us. You'll get to know why here shortly. That's my immediate family. So for context, I have 12 siblings. I'll show you a picture of them in the lineup. This is by age. This next photo, maybe. There it is. Yeah, so those are my siblings, all of them. None of us are adopted. No twins in the mix. My mom actually did that. Amazing, isn't that? Yes. Thank you. She's recovering from having children like me. So I grew up, and we all still, to this day, have really strong relationships and enjoy each other. So I give you all that context because I grew up seeing and understanding and knowing the joy and the life that was found in following Jesus. But I was a strong-hearted, minded little kid that thought I could do things better on my own. I also was pretty sure that God was boring. I had seen pictures of the little angel sitting on a cloud, and I was like, "That if that's heaven, I'm out." You know, like I liked to go hunting and fishing, and so I was pretty sure that God was boring and that I could be a better God of my own life than he was. And so I fulfilled every mother's dream, and I became, I bought a minivan, okay? I turned it into like a little miniature home, essentially. It was a motorhome. I threw my dog in it, and I became a bull rider. That's what I did, friends. My mom was pumped about it. Everyone else in my life was pumped about it. Here's a picture of me at the ABBI World Finals. It's real life, I'm not kidding. No, you don't, thank you. Yeah. You shouldn't clap at that. You should be like, "What is wrong?" Because that's really real. And so I legitimately thought this is going to be the life for me. I pursued this life thinking that it was going to give me everything that I wanted, all fulfillment I was looking for, and it fed every naturally sinful part of me, my pride. I had like inappropriate relationships, money, people knowing my name. I thought it was really cool if I got to like sign autographs and got a lot of, when people were like, "Man, good job, and you did great, and I saw you on TV," and all of this. And that began to be what I lived for. And God, in his kindness, in the way that he worked in my life, he essentially allowed me to find some of what I was looking for. He allowed me to like do well inside the sport. I made it to where I was just at local rodeos, and then I made it to a few like little bigger ones, and then I'm going to world finals, and I'm beginning to think that I've figured it out. Like, Jesus is cool, mom and dad, you guys are great, you know, and I'm glad to come home, and thanks for the food, mom. But I was like, I'm pretty sure that I know where life is because it felt really good. And that all culminated for me this one weekend where I went to the rodeo and I was the bull rider. I won the whole thing that weekend. You know, so I got, you know, you sign the autographs, got the big check. And at the time, I was dating a Cowboys cheerleader for her personality. That was fun. And so I thought that was all that life had. I mean, this is it. You know, this is the pinnacle of everything that I had been looking for was right now. And after all the lights were off and everything's done, and I go and I lay down in a hotel bed myself, and I had never, friends, felt so empty. Like I was actually found myself, I caught myself trying to convince me that it was good. Like, "No, that was good, man. That's exactly what you want. No, it's okay." I was like, and I couldn't get away from the fact that it was incredibly empty. Like, it just didn't matter. 2 weeks from then, no one was gonna remember who won the bull riding in Nashville. Like, no one's gonna remember that. It won't matter. But I just kept convincing myself, "No, it does. It does. It will matter. This is good." And so I continued on. 2 weeks later, I'm at a bull ride in Prescott, Arizona, and I got on a bull named American Honey. Real wish it would have been like Widowmaker or something, because that night he was faster and bigger and stronger than I was. And I came off right at the same time that his two hooves caught me midair and then planted me right in the, so I took one hoof here and one hoof here, and it collapsed the lung, cut my liver in half, and then broke all but two of my ribs. So then laughing became my least favorite thing in the world, and sneezing was a genuine fear. And it rearranged some organs. And so I was in a bad place. They life-flighted me down to Phoenix, where I spent the next 6 days in the ICU. And while I was there, my dad, who had continued to love and pursue me this whole time, he called me. He called me the first night of the hospital, and because he is a good dad, he said, "Son, it looks like you're gonna have some extra time on your hands while you're laying in a hospital bed. Why don't you like find a Bible and read it and think about things a little bit?" Thank you, Dad. I was like, I'm so out on that. I was just not about it. In my mind, all I could think of was get me up, get me fixed. Like, I gotta find the next fix. Like, surely if I just win world finals or something, maybe if I'm wearing the world championship gold buckle, that'll finally be when it's fulfilling. Just get me out of here. I mean, I was so prideful, friends, to the point that all the doctors were telling me, like, bro, you're in bad shape. And I pulled all the IVs out of my arms and I walked out of the hospital. And then I collapsed on the sidewalk, and then they gently picked me back up and put me back in the hospital bed I was just in. And I was so stuck. I'm like, no, I can figure life out. Like, I've got this. And the last night in the hospital, I'm laying there, and I just remember my dad's word, "Why don't you think about things?" I knew exactly what he was talking about. And so I decided to do something. I had 42 voicemails on my phone that night from my dad, who from the age 17 when I left home, to that night in the hospital, he used to call me at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I knew he was up praying for me when he would call me. I would never answer. And he would leave me these voicemails. And I went back and I listened to all of them. And they all sounded exactly the same. He would say, "Hey, boo-boo." It's my nickname. We can talk about it later. "This is Daddy. And I want to let you know I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I can't wait to see what God does with you when he gets your heart." It's never if. It's always when. He's almost like annoyingly confident that God was after me. And it was in that moment that I realized that the way my dad loved me was nothing but a dim reflection of the way my Heavenly Father loved me. My broken, sinful dad continued to pursue me. He knew the things that I was doing. He knew that I had spit in the face of everything he had ever taught me. And he never, ever, ever stopped pursuing me. And I realized it was a dim, just a dim reflection of the way that God had loved me the whole time. God had been there every moment that I had sinned, every inappropriate relationship I'd had. He had been there the whole time, and he never stopped loving me. And I like to tell people often that when you understand and realize that you're loved that way, it demands a response. God, in his kindness, will still give you the chance to tell him no, but you would be saying no to the greatest love ever. Psalm 86:15 says this, "But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." And that's what God was showing me. So it was really 2 weeks. I got out of the hospital, and 2 weeks later, I was at home when I truly trusted Christ. I was laying there on the couch recovering and was just, again, still wrestling inside of me, still like wanting to go back to this life where I felt I was in control, and God just calling me home saying, "Son, come home. Son, come home." And I like to tell people this conversation I'm having in my mind with the Lord went something similar to this. It's one thing, this is just an education now, it's one thing to get on a bull, friends, because they're in this cute little metal cage and they can't go anywhere. It's a very different thing to nod your head. Because when you nod your head, it's when they open the gate. And I had this moment, and all these times in my life that I had rode bulls for a living, that I never got to where I just didn't nod my head, where I was like, "You know what, guys, I'm out." And God looked at me and said, "Josh, if you want life, in life to its full, life that's going to make this like riding bulls look like child's play, everything that you are meant to be, the way that I designed you, life actually to its fullest in everything that it could be, living for me is it. Are you going to walk away? Are you going to say no?" And I couldn't. And I walked into mom and dad's bedroom. I said, "Dad, it's time to nod." And he knew exactly what I meant. And he got up and we prayed and we read some scripture together. And I remember that night I prayed a prayer. I don't remember the whole thing, but I do remember finishing with, "God, I want you to take me, break me, and make me." And I want to walk you through those three things, because when I told him that I wanted him to take me, I knew for a fact that I needed God to take my life and lead me, because on my own, I would turn to things that were only going to bring destruction in my life. I was going to run back to having other people's approval be what I was living for, or just living for the next relationship or the next rodeo, the next person to give me a pat on the back. I knew God needed to take my hand and lead me. Psalm 25:5 says this, take my hand and lead me down the path of truth. All of us were born with pride, and I was born with a little extra, and so I knew that God needed to break me of that. Matthew 5:3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I was never going to choose him on my own. I knew that I needed him to realize that everything that I was going to do is going to pale in comparison to living life with him. And then I knew that he was going to, that he could make me. Ephesians 2:10 that says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we can walk in them. So today, I live a John 10:10 life, which is this. It says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes, friends, when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it doesn't always look like he's stealing, killing, or destroying. In my life, it actually felt pretty good. Like I thought I was gaining something. It actually felt like there would be more life to come. But what I realized is later on, and God opened my eyes to recognize that he really was stealing life from me, that he was killing all that he had designed me to be. It doesn't always feel as if he's stealing, killing, or destroying in your life, but he is. And the verse goes on to say, I have come, it's Jesus talking, to that they may have life and have it to its full. Today, I get to live that. I don't wake up every day wondering what others think of me. I don't wake up every day chained to running back to pornography when I'm stressed, or running back there just because I'm bored, or running there just to feel significant. And God has given me the unbelievable privilege of being part of his redemptive plan on earth. And I have the joy and the honor to get to lead other young adults and tell them, look, friends, God's not trying to rip you off. He's trying to set you free. So God has given me a new identity in him. I'm no longer identified by what others think of me or relationships or even my self-destructing pride. And because of my potential Drain Bramage, I have written it here on my arm. I wrote this identity on my arm. All those years of writing bowls, I know I needed something really simply that I could see that I have a new identity in him. And this is what I wrote. It says this, that I'm first loved unconditionally. There's nothing that I can do to make him love me anymore. And there's nothing I can do to make him love me any less. And then next, I'm saved by grace. Ephesians 2:10, by grace, you are saved. Not of your own works, nothing I can do, nothing you can do. Saved by grace, and now identified as son, or maybe for you, as daughter of the King of Kings. In the middle of God allowing me to run in all of my junk and all of my choices and almost accomplishing the things that I wanted, I began to realize life was meant to be with him. He made you on purpose and with a purpose. Created in Christ Jesus, you are his workmanship. You are the pinnacle of it. God looks at you and says, I got a plan for you. You're everything that I wanted. I love you so much that even in the middle of you hating me and being my enemy, I died for you. Because I have things I want you to do. You no longer need to run back to that. You no longer need to run back to the puke and the junk that's been in your life and keep eating that. You can come and sit at my table and feast with me and be identified as a son or a daughter of the King. So friends, you can trust him with all of your hurts, habits, and hangups, because he also wants you to live life to its fullest, both now here on this earth and then someday forever. In eternity. And I hope you do that. I hope you step into a love that won't stop on you. Because in the same way he never stopped with me, he's not stopping in your life. And I pray that he opens the eyes of your heart, that you just take enough time and pay attention to listen, because he is always whispering words of love to you. He wants nothing more. And even in the middle of all the junk that's happening in your life, he wants nothing more than a deep and intimate relationship with you. My name is Josh Timms. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from an addiction to pride and pornography. Glory be to God, because I'm no longer identified in that. Thank you.